Okay, Rabotai, it's that time of the week, Erev Shabbat Kodesh. Our custom is to study the Haftarot. I'm well aware that the Parasha is Parashat Shemini this week. However, we are now playing some catch-up to make up some Haftarot that we did not do. We didn't do Haftarat Sav, probably for good reason. Sav, the Haftarah is, I'll call it a rare Haftarah. You only read it either during a leap year or if it's a regular year and Pesach comes out on a Shabbat or a Sunday. So Israel, they don't read it also. They have an issue with Purim Mishulash. They read Zachor twice, like was mentioned this week. So the Haftarah is a rare Haftarah, but nonetheless, for the years that we do read it, this year was one of them. This year we read Parashat Tzav last Shabbat, and Haftarah was read. The Haftarah is in Yirmiyah, chapter 7. It's Perek Chaf Aleph, and it starts... Ko Amar Hashem Sivaot. So the Haftarah is a prophecy that God's giving to Yirmiyah. Basic theme of the Haftarah is God rebuking Bnei Yisrael through the prophet that they are bringing a lot of korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash, and God says that they're better off not bringing the korbanot because the main thing is God wants the vidui, the repentance at the time of the Korbanot. And Bnei Yisrael at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, they fell into Avodah Zarah, and they actually brought Avodah Zarah into the Beit HaMikdash, and they were doing all sorts of sins, but at the same time bringing Korbanot, thinking that the Korbanot will atone for them. Probably the connection between the Haftarah and the Parashah, Parashat Sav talks about the Korban Olah. Hi ha'olah al mokedah la mizbeach. And right in the beginning of the Haftarah, God tells the Bnei Israel, you know, you're bringing too many korbanot olah. Basically what God's saying is, you're wasting your money. You know, you might as well bring a shilamim, at least you can eat it. Because you're not really getting any value out of the korbanot olah. Olah is brought for kapara, for hirhure avira. He says, but if you're not making kapara, if you're not making teshuvah from the hirhurim anyway, so why waste the money? You might as well put it to better use and bring a shilamim, which is not for kapara, and you might as well get something, might as well get dinner out of it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, since that parasha talked about the proper way to bring a korban olah, and after that begins with the wrong way to bring it, so that would probably be a connection. Ko amar Hashem Sivakot, Edoei Yisrael, olotechem sefu. So sefu would mean like you have plenty, like lehosif. You have more olot than you do shelamim. Olotechem sefu al zivchechem. So God says, ve'ichlu basar. You know, you might as well eat meat. Why are you bringing more olot? Bring more shelamim and eat it. Because anyway, God is not accepting your korbanot. For good reason. Ki lo dibarti et avotechem. God says, I never commanded your fathers to bring korbanot. Ve'lo tzivitim b'yom hotzi otam me'eres Mitzrayim al devrei ola bazavach. Which means, the condition that I took them out of Mitzrayim was not al menat that they should bring korbanot. That wasn't the main item. Ki im et hadavar hazeh siviti otam lemor. The main thing I wanted was shim'u b'koli. I want you to be obedient, listen to the mitzvot, Kabbalat HaTorah Har Sinai. And God says, and I won't trade you in for another nation. That's what I wanted. I wanted obedience.
So it'll be good for you.
But instead, you went off to Derech, you did Avodah Zarah, but what are you very careful in? Bringing Korbanot. So therefore God says, well, the Korbanot is not a token, it's not a sigula. Velo shame'u. But your forefathers did not accept my word. Velo hitu et oznam. They didn't listen. Vayilechu b'mo'etzot. Mo'etzot is from like Lashon Etzah. They went with their own ideas. Again, back to the concept. Korban Olah is mechaper on hirurim. You brought the korban and you still went with your own mu'atzot. You still had the bed hirhurim. You didn't atone from it. Bishrinut libam hara. That's inside. You went with your bad ideas, bad thoughts, which means hirhuri avodah zara, thoughts that are punishable. Normally, regular thoughts are not punishable, but hirhuri avira is if it's avodah zara. Vayihiyu leachor velo lefanim. Simple explanation is you regressed.
Right.
And you didn't go forward. You went backwards instead of going forward. But Rav Hida in Saveresh Shalal explains this line based on a midrash. The midrash is on the Pasuk in Tehillim or in the Nevi'im. Ahor Vakedem Tzartani. Maybe it's in Iyov. Ahor Vakedem Tzartani. What does it mean? God says regarding Adam. You were created last, Ahor. And you were created first. Ahor vekedem tzartani. Make up your mind. How could Adam be created last and first? So the Midrash says that he was created last from all the animals. However, spiritually, his neshama was created first. Why does the Navi have to tell us that? So if a person comes along and has ga'aba and thinks that he's something special, so God says, what are you being arrogant? Yitush kadamcha. The fly came before you, which means ahor. You came at then, yitush kadamcha. The fly came before you. However, a person has to know that he's endowed with a neshama in order to motivate him to do good things. So therefore, you're reminded, vakedem, your neshama came first. So whenever Klal Yisrael is in contempt of the law, God has to remind them that ahor, that you are the last of the creation. That means you're a nothing. The bug is more important than you. Who do you think you are? So therefore the pasuk should be read, v'halachtem bechol, the pasuk should be read, v'lo hitu et oznam, you didn't hearken to my word, v'yelechu b'mo'etzot, you went with your own ideas, b'shrirut libam ala, v'yihiyu le'achor, and as a result, I have to remind you that you are ahor, that you come after everything, that the rest of the creation came before you, and therefore yitush kadamcha, velo lefanim. You forgot that you came lefanim, that your neshama precedes the creation. You went after your body, and you didn't go after your soul. Lemin hayom asher yatzu avotechem me'eretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. Now God says, not only you and your fathers, this is an old custom, your rebelliousness. From the time that your fathers came out of Mitzrayim, ad hayom hazeh, va'ishlach alechem et kol avadai hanevi'im. And I sent prophets throughout the different generations, yom hashkem, day in, meaning early in the morning, I sent them, hashkem, v'shaloa. And they were sent in order to warn you. Velo shame'u elai, and you didn't listen. Velo hitu et oznam, you didn't turn your ears to them. Vayakshu et orpam, you were stubborn. Heri'u me'avotam, and you even were worse than the previous generations. Rav Pam over here, in his derashot on the Haftarah, talks about the importance of accepting rebuke. He says, one that is able to accept rebuke, so he has a chance to get to Olam Haba. Because he doesn't take it personal, he hears the criticism, and he gets better. So, but most people, the Musar goes over their head. So he tells the story of his father. His father used to be a Rav in Brownsville, in a Beit Knesset with, Baalei Batim. And one time, he had to give a fire and brimstone to Chahat, to the congregation. And Rav Pam's father got up and gave a tremendous musar. So one of the members of the congregation, after the rabbi was finished, he went up to him and says, wow, Rabbi Hazak Baruch, you really gave it to them. So Rav Pam says, his father had to bite his lip. He said, give it to them? He said, I was talking to you. Everybody always thinks that a rabbi, who is he talking to? He said, maybe he's talking to you. Because everybody resists to accept the musar. You always think it's somebody else. So therefore, the Navi says over here, you didn't listen. V'lo shamo elai. V'yakshu et orpam. You didn't let the Musar penetrate. V'dibarta alehem. So God tells Yirmiyah, you're going to tell them all this. And you're going to give them the warning. And what's going to happen? It called them v'ele. V'lo yishmeo elecha. Guess what? They're not going to listen to you either. Finished. They reached the point of no return. V'karata alehem. V'lo ya'anucha. You're going to call them over and over again, and they're not going to respond. And as a result, this is one of the severe curses that we have in the Nevi'im. V'amarta alehem zeh goy. This nation, referring to us, asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem Elohav. That is a contempt. That they're not listening to the word, the voice of God. V'lo lakhu musar. That's the king. V'lo lakhu musar. Musar over here also refers to not verbal musar, yisurin, that God afflicted the nation. And the people came along and said, it's chance, you know, it happens, it was an accident. And they didn't take the musar that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to change their ways. Avedah ha'emunah, they lost emunah, they lost faith. They believed that all that was happening to them was chance. And person as emunah knows, a leaf doesn't fall off the tree unless it's the will of Hashem. V'nichreta b'pihem. Not only they lost emunah in their heart, but even superficially they lost emunah from their mouth. Today you go to somebody, how you doing? Baruch Hashem. He doesn't even know what he's saying. But at least he says it. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. At least in their mouth they have usage, mention of Hashem. Here it says in the times of Yirmiyah, v'nichreta mipihem, that they weren't even saying these words. I mean, even verbally, they didn't recognize.
But they were bringing korbanot. But at the same time,
to them, the korbanot was like a token. It was a segula. It was a insurance.
Right.
You bring korbanot, you get protected. So the Beit HaMikdash ended up turning into insurance. Mm-hmm. When you need this building just to be protected from the evil,
like
so it's a red string. Like the Beit HaMikdash became a segula, exactly. So Borei Olam says, you turn the bell. Well, and the proof of the pudding is you're going to see in a second. They brought Avodah Zarah into the Beit HaMikdash. So and like, what did they think? They were, obviously they had some type of schizophrenia that they could think that God will be with them in the Beit HaMikdash at the same time. But we know that in the times of Yirmiyah, the Yitzhara was very strong for Avodah Zarah. The attraction, we don't even relate to it. So what's the desire? Anybody have a desire, God forbid even to say it, to bring Avodah Zarah into the Beit Knesset? We already have a problem bringing a phone into a Beit Knesset. We get nervous. They're going to bring Avodah Zarah into the Beit Knesset? No one even think of it. Hasmila Haskir. But in those days... It was, and there had to be great people. I want to point this out to you over here, because just look at who their prophet was. We don't have Yirmiyah.
They have to be worthy of it.
Hazak Baruch, we don't have Yirmiyah giving us prophecies from God. So you get what you deserve. So they must have been on a high level that they're getting these communications with God from the prophet Yirmiyah. Nonetheless, Borei Olam says to them, Gozin Izrech, go pull out your hair. From your head, like the Nazir has hair, gozin izrech, pull your hair out of your head, vashlichi, and throw it on the ground. It's a sign of avilut. Usi al shefayim kina, and go onto the mountains. Usi, go up al shefayim kina, and wail, like say lamentations, so they can hear you from far. Ki ma'as Hashem. God has despised you. Vayitosh edor evrato. What does that mean? He has left the generation that has evrato, that was over on his mitzvot. Dor evrato. Hador she'avar al mitzvotav. The generation that has transgressed the mitzvot. Ya'asu b'nei Yehuda hara b'enai. Nehum Hashem, says God, that they did bad in my eyes. And hear what they did. Samu shikutzehem babayit. They took the shikutz, which is the Avodah Zarah, and they put it in the bayit, in the temple. Asher nikra shemiya alav. The temple that's called Mikdash Hashem. Letame'o. And they made it tameh, impure. They defiled it. Not only that, ubanu bamot hatofet. Those days, the Jews were attracted to an Avodah Zarah. The Torah refers to it as the Molech. Here they refer to it as Bamota Tofet. What was it? They built a Mizbeach. And they sacrificed, if you could believe it, their own children. They felt, you take your firstborn, which means they felt that that's the greatest sacrifice, not to God, to Avodah Zarah. And they called it Bamot. Bamot is the Mizbeach. And Tofet, what's Tofet? What's Tofet? Tof is a drum. No, that was the custom. They used to play the bongos when they brought, like boom, boom, like an Indian dance. They play the drums, right, as they bring in their children to Avodah Zarah. So Bamot Tofet. Asher Bege Ben Hinnom. That's amazing. You have Gehinnom? Okay, now you're going to hear a different place. But it's not that far off. This place is called Ge Ben Hinnom. Ge is the valley. Ben is a son. Hinnom is to wail and to cry, like a Nahama, is a wailing. So it was the valley where the sons were wailing. Ge, the valley. Ben, the son that was burnt on the Mizbeach alive. Hinnom was wailing. That's why we call the place of, I don't want to say it, H-E v'chule, we call it Gehinnom. What is Gehinnom? Ge, the valley, Hinnom, that the people wail. What do they do there? They cry all day long because of the, but this is not Gehinnom, this is Ge Ben Hinnom, the children. That's the spot. That is the spot. If we can get there to see it. Well, Rabbi, we're not picky. We'll even go to Israel to see Ge Ben Hinnom now, if you let us in. They run. They don't want to get the Bermuda Triangle. They don't want to get stuck there. I don't blame them. So he says, what did they do in Geb in Hinnom? Lisrof et b'nehem. V'et b'notehem. So they weren't prejudiced. Boys and girls. Lisrof et b'nehem v'et b'notehem b'esh. Asher lo tziviti. I never commanded it in the Torah that you should do such a thing. I never commanded it to do it to me. To another god. And I never even pondered and thought of it. Never entered my mind. The Gemara, we learned the Ta'anit said, what? On this piece of Nevi? That don't think, when God told Abraham to take Yitzhak, it wasn't even a first thought. It never entered his mind. It was a test. It was a Nisayon. Don't think that God said to Abraham, take your son, he changed his mind. Lo alta al libi. Never even entered the mind. Lo alta al libi. Based on this, it comes out. So as Jacob said, it was a test. So I saw an unbelievable perush on that. There's a famous Hatam Sofer that asks, how did Avraham know the whole Torah before it was given? How did he perceive it? How did he get the whole Torah before he was given? So Avraham Avinu, he says that his limbs were so kadosh, 248 limbs, 240 gematria Avraham. So all his limbs were so sensitive that any time there was a mitzvah, so he was drawn to it, and any time there was an averah, he was repelled to it. So it's a natural feeling. And I saw the Slonim Rebbe talks about this when he says, Ilu kirebanu lefne Har Sinai velo natan lanu et haTorah dayenu, that if we would have gotten to Har Sinai and God didn't give us the Torah, dayenu, so the Slonim Rebbe says, because when we got to Har Sinai, we reached a level that's called Pascha Zuhamatam. The Zuhama from the Nahash Kadmon left us, and we were able to figure out the whole Torah. We knew it. We knew it like Abraham. So that explains why Velona Tanana with the Torah did it, because we knew it anyway. Which we would have done it intuitively, like Abraham. It's better to get the Torah, but you can be a mitzvah ve'oseh. That's why it's better to get the Torah. But even if we didn't get the Torah, we would have known it. So with that, he answers a famous question that they ask on Avraham Avinu, that when he was having the Orchim, he interrupted the Orchim. He interrupted his premonition with God in order to deal with the guests. And from there the Gemara learns, Gadol Echnasat Orchim Yoter Mehakpalat Pene Shekhinah. The question, how did Avraham know that? Avraham is our source, but what's Avraham's source? So Hatam Sofer said, because he was talking to God, and all of a sudden he feels his legs moving. So he said, no, if my legs are moving, it's pulling me, like the magnetism must be that there's something more important than what I'm doing over here. Therefore, he could trust his, So based on this, I saw the Ma'ale Musa say something incredible. Avraham Avinu now has got to do the Akedah. Only problem is, the Akedah is not a mitzvah. So therefore, when Avraham was going, he was traveling against gravity. He was traveling against a magnetic, which means he had no natural tendency to go. That was the hard part of the Akedah. He didn't feel it. So, and he said, hold it. It can't be a mitzvah if I don't feel, but Hashem told me to do it. So he was struggling with that the first time he had to do something where there was no. So that's what the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Avraham et yado vayikach et ma'achedet. He had to take the knife. So it's a Vayishlach Avraham. That's a heavy word. Vayishlach, he sent his hand. Just say, he picked up the, since his hand didn't want to move. Because since it wasn't really a mitzvah, so it's Vayishlach, he had to throw his hand, like his hand became dead weight. Vayishlach Avraham et yado vayikach et ma'achedet. Because otherwise, he didn't have a, so that was the conflict that he had. Then enter my mind to do the Akedah. V'nachen, hinei yamin ba'im ne'um Hashem. The days are coming, Rabotai. Again, if you don't want to hear these pesukim, you can step out of the room for 1 minute. This is kind of graphic, maybe for some of our members. V'lo ye'amir od. We're not going to call that valley anymore. Hatofet v'ge ben hinom. The valley of the children with the drums. Ki'im geha harega. It's going to be called the Valley of Death. You ever hear that? Death Valley? There it is. Geha harega. And it's not in, not in California either. Ve'kavru betofet be'en makom. And they're going to bury bodies in that valley over there. And there's going to be overcrowding. Be'en makom. There's not going to be enough room for the bodies. Vaitan nivlata amazeh, and the dead carcasses of this nation that are not going to be buried, they're going to be food for the vultures, for the birds, ulbehemata ares ve'en maharid, which means nothing is going to scare the animals away. Normally, when an animal comes, what do? Somebody shoos them away. Ve'en maharid. There's nobody going to be there to shoo the animals away. V'hishbati ma'ari Yehuda u'mechutzot Yerushalayim. And then there's going to be a cessation. Cessation, pirush, it's going to stop. Shevita, a strike. But not a strike from the transit authority or a strike from the hospital workers. It's going to be a strike from weddings. No longer are we going to hear in the streets of Jerusalem kol sason ve'kol simcha, kol hatan ve'kol kala. Instead, it's going to be kol yelala. It's going to be the sound of woe. Ki lechorba tihiye ha'aretz. Not going to be anybody there. It's going to be desolation. Ba'etahi ne'um Hashem. There it gets even worse. You think only the living are going to have a problem? Or the people that die? Or the people that are living that died? Even the dead people are going to have a problem. Wow, what happened to the dead? What could happen to a dead guy? He's dead already. So he says, "Va'etahini u'mashem yotziu et atzmot malchei Yehuda." They're going to reinter. They're going to take the bones out. They're going to take the bones out of the kings of Yehuda from the ground. Ve'et atzmot sarav and the princes. Ve'et atzmot the kohanim, all those kohanim that worshipped Avodah Zarah in the temple. Ve'et atzmot the neviim, obviously nevi'a sheket, the false prophets. Ve'et atzmot yoshvei Yerushalayim mikivrehem, in order to degrade them. Ushtahum, and they're going to lay them out in the fields. Lashemesh v'layareyach, in front of the sun and in front of the moon. Ulchol seba shamayim, and all the constellations. Why? Mida keneged mida. Asher ahevum, because they worship the sun and they worship the moon and they worship the stars. And therefore God says, you put your faith in these celestial bodies that you thought they're going to protect you, here. They're going to be strewn out from the ground and placed in front. Ve'asher abadum, they worship them. Ve'asher halchu ahareihem. Ve'asher derashum. Derashum means that they actually use the sun and the stars to figure out the future. Like Doresh, Elametin, to try to get, fortune telling. Ve'asher ishtahavu lahem. Not only that, but you bowed to them to give it kavod. Lo ye'asefu. The bones are not going to put into coffins like they normally do to princes. Ve'lo yikaberu. Ledomen al penei ha'adama yihyu. They're going to decay on the ground. Ve'nevhar mavet mehayim. Famous pasuk. Those that are going to remain alive and get sent into exile, they're going to wish that they were dead. They're going to rather choose death. They're going to say that the ones that died were actually lucky. Whoever remains from this bad family, wherever they remain, that I sent them out into galut. You see that there comes a time where even a person who's alive craves that he's dead. He looks, that's a bad time. But you think that the person that's dead is more fortunate than the living. I once heard from Rabbi Weinberg from Ateret, Alav Shalom. He used to learn in Ateret and he used to give a derash to the boys in between, after in half for 5 minutes. I don't know if the boys appreciated as much as I did. He was talking to seventh graders, but I enjoyed them a lot. Beautiful derashot, he used to say. So one of the derashot he said was this time of year, on Pirkei Avot, he said that the Mishnah comes along and says, Shetikvat Enosh Rima. Tikvat Enosh Rima means that the end, we'll call it. The end of man is what? What does he have to look forward to? The maggots, the worms. So therefore, don't be a gava. Tikvat Enosh Rima. What's going to be with you in the end? But he explained it unbelievably, based on a story that happened in the Holocaust. He said, Lo Aleinu, when they were taking the Jews to Auschwitz, so they crammed them onto these cattle cars, as we see the footage of it, Lo Aleinu. And they had no utilities, no food, no ventilation, no nothing. Just many of them died just getting there. Hashem yukom damam. So he says, there was one tzaddik that was on the cattle car, and all of a sudden he sees that in between the boards of the car, there's a little crack. And he's saying to himself, if I could just get my mouth to that crack, and I'll be able to inhale some air. But there's hundreds of people, no way he can get there, but he can see it. And all of a sudden he sees a little worm, and the worm crawls up, and the worm is just going up and down that crack. And at the time he said to himself, I wish I was that worm. He says, how pitiful are we in such a situation that we're jealous that the worm is in a better position. So Rabbi Weinberg explained to Mishnah that there's going to come a time shetikvat enosh rima, that the hope of man is going to be a worm. And it came true. The worm is able to get some fresh air, and the human wasn't. This is saying that they're going to be worse. They're going to wish that they were dead, which I'm sure happened as well at the time. The Navi now does not want to end off on a sour note. This is a very, very heavy note to end off. So the Navi goes to a different chapter. The last two Pesukim actually go to Perek Tet. And the Navi says, Ko amar Hashem, al yitalel hacham b'chokhmato. The hacham should not take credit for his wisdom. It's not your wisdom. Wisdom is from God. Ve'al yitalel gibor b'gburato. Physical strength is matat el, it's a gift. Ve'al yitalel ashir b'oshro. So it seems that the Navi is ending with this to tell us that don't think that you're better than the previous generations, because you're going to come along and say, well, we don't have Avodah Zarah today. There's different forms of Avodah Zarah. You might not be worshiping a monument or a stone or the sun, but there's people that worship themselves. They think that their powers are not God given. They think that they're self-created. So the guy says, look how smart I am. Look how rich I am. Look how much power and influence I am. That's Abu Dazara. Lo yebecha elzar. Don't make yourself an elzar, a deity. So the Nabi's coming to say, don't discount this haftarah and say, oh, those guys, like we said in the beginning from Rapam's father, oh, those guys, talking to you. You might not have the same temptations that they had, but you have the temptations of Kuhiv Otsim Yadi. Guy's got a few dollars in his pocket already. Thinks he's, he forgets that he comes from God. But there's one thing the Navi says you're able to take credit for. Ki im bezot yitalel amitalel haskel v'yadoa oti. Which means your religious accomplishments, which is a result of free will, that already God says, haskel v'yadoa, that's your accomplishment. The fact that you came to the truth of the Torah and you choose life over death in a spiritual sense, that already bezot yitalel, that you can take credit, as the Gemara says, akol bide shamayim, chutz. Chutz mirat shamayim, so bezay yitalel mitalel, v'yadoa oti. And you have to know, and when you know that, and you make the right decisions, you remember that I will save you from the Pur'anut. Ki ani Hashem oseh chesed. And I pay back those that follow my ways. Mishpat, that's the other way. Mishpat is judgment. Those that don't follow me, God has both sides of the stick. The chesed side and the mishpat. Ustaka ba'aris. But I also have tzedakah. Tzedakah over here refers to, I accept people to come back to teshuvah. That's what I want. I want Haskel v'yadoa oti Ne'um Hashem. So says Hashem. Baruch Adonai Amen. Amen. Amen.